Hey everybody, I'm Luke and welcome back to The Breakdown. Summer is basically upon us. Graduations, we've had several graduations in our church. We had King's Academy, we had School of the Spirit. And as I was coming in to record today, I saw all the kids cleaning out their lockers, which for me, transitions are both usually exciting, but then also sometimes sentimental for me. So it was just cool to see that. Today, we're joined by someone very special, one of the elders of our church, Mr. Ron Eaton. Welcome.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody.
Thanks for coming.
I'm honored to be here. Honored to be here.
It's an honor to have you. I know for me personally, even before I came to HPC, like I would hear of you and I'd met you a few times. And I could just sense that you walk in the power of the Holy Spirit and you're just led by the Spirit. And I could just sense that with every interaction. And then even having you come and speak at, you spoke at the youth a couple times in the last few months. And I was personally challenged, especially at the last message where you just really taught us to pray specifically and to ask God specific things. And I know for me, like, Amen. That really challenged me because it takes faith to pray that way, where it's a lot easier, I know, for me to just pray in like generalities and but really applying and asking God to come into the specific will of my life.
It's also two things on that. Faith is one part of that, Luke, but the second part is I have to believe what I'm praying.
Yeah.
Right? I have to act on that faith.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to believe, could it be today?
Right.
Could it happen today?
Right.
Lord, I'm trusting you. I believe you've got my life in the palm of your hands, and I'm so grateful it's not in mine, right?
Amen. 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 But that's what I feel like you've really contributed to me is building up my faith personally, and I can see that in our house, in our church family. It all started with a desire in your heart. You were just driving, and the Lord birthed that in you.
Yeah, so many years ago now, 11 years, 12, oh
wow.
My gosh, probably 13 years ago now, right?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I was, were you at the graduation for Kings?
I was not, I was away.
You were not, okay. So I came in, and I walked in a little bit late. It had already started, but I was standing in the back, and I was just hit with this overwhelming realization of, wow, like all the thousands of stories and lives that the Lord had to intertwine and bring together for that moment to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like resting in that gratitude. That's what fuels us to go forward because the Lord's done it. He's going to continue to do it.
Amen. Amen to that.
Amen. So now just going into the message, what was your takeaway from Pastor Zach's message on Sunday?
Well, first of all, Pastor Zach, I got to say, for some of you, if you find that irreverence, if I call him Zach, he's also my son-in-law. So we have this kind of, here he's Pastor Zach, and when he's at the home, we like to refer to him as Zach, because we're family, and so grateful for that. My takeaway, my gosh, that was probably Pastor Zach's one of the greatest passages that you can pull out of Scripture that says, oh, wait a minute here. I can actually act upon this and my life is changed.
Mm. Mm.
Example, he uses, Paul writes, now, and when we see that, every time we see Scripture say now, I mean the here and my next stands up because he's about to say something profound. And he says, now rid yourself of these things. And so those are awakening moments in our spiritual walk that I feel we have to pay attention to the rids. The things we need to rid ourselves of. And Pastor Zach was actually walking us through the donut trail.
Mm-hmm.
And in the donut trail, it leads you to a rid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the call is to go higher, but how do I go higher?
Right.
For every one of those items listed in Colossians, every one you rid yourself of, you step up one.
Hmm. Amen.
Right?
Yes.
And that's spiritual growth.
Yes.
It's going to cost me something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to throw something off. Every time I want to take a step up in things of the Lord, I actually have to consciously, I'm aware of it. We're all aware of it. If we read those passages, we're all in there somewhere.
Right, right.
You know, and I recall myself as a teenager, late teens, early 20s, with a foul mouth. Mm-hmm. Even though I grew up in a church pew, I know nothing but a foul mouth. And I woke up one day and I said, Lord, you've got to take this from me.
Wow.
And it wasn't like, okay, did I today? Did I tomorrow? You subconsciously put it in the back of your mind. And I realized a year later, there was no foul language coming out of my mouth anymore. But it was the work of the Holy Spirit
yes.
being done in my life because I actually professed it to him
Amen.
And asked him to remove it from me.
Amen.
That was my action point
yeah.
to step up.
Amen.
So it's kind of an interesting thing, but it never goes without cost.
Right. And I loved how, you know, that whole progression and that visual is so beautiful because I think a lot of times like we can just see our lives like based on like where we're at and we don't always consider where we've come from, but the Lord meets us where we are at.
Absolutely.
And Pastor Zach, he impressed that on us. Like he's like, the Lord is going to meet you right there. When you call to him for salvation, he meets you there and he provides for you. His provision is there. And then as you pointed out, the Holy Spirit is now inside of us. And the Holy Spirit is now, as Jesus says, counseling us and teaching us and guiding us along this journey.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a progression and it's a process.
It's a progress, a process, absolutely. But one of the things that concerns me about the global yeah. church mm-hmm. is that we've come to live on this idea that we only come to the Father to receive. And scripture is the opposite of receiving. It is about giving. And so as long as I'm giving of myself
yeah.
and emptying of myself, okay, he then fills.
Oh, it's so funny that you said that because when I came into worship on Sunday, I felt the Holy Spirit saying, posture yourself to receive. And so I was like, all right, I don't know what I'm going to be receiving, but I postured myself to receive. And I just found myself in worship. My mind was drawn towards a particular friend in my life who is not yet at church, but who I feel called to share the gospel with and to, you know, encourage him. And I see like what the Lord wants to do.
Is he a believer?
I don't know.
Okay, say his first name.
His name is Patrick.
Patrick, so Father, Lord, we sit in this room today, and today we sit here believing by faith
yes.
that Patrick is going to walk through those doors.
Amen.
God, it's not by anything we do. It's by the move of your Holy
Amen.
Spirit.
Amen.
And you said where two or more are gathered in your in one accord with you, that you will make these things happen. So we are going to believe by faith that one day Luke is going to introduce me to Patrick.
Amen.
In Jesus' name we declare it.
Amen. Amen. But the funny thing was, as I was praying for him, I felt like I was being filled. And I'm like, God, I thought that you were saying for me to posture myself to receive, but like I feel like I'm receiving by going out and like praying for him and wanting to move in, like see him moving in, see you move in his life and me be the vessel. And it was like, God was like, yeah, exactly. Like that's now you get it.
Mm-hmm. So cool. So cool. I like to say, when I'm looking at those five or six items that is called out in Colossians there, it says,
we can have them.
Now rid yourself of
yep. anger, well, rage,
actually,
malice.
He actually hits on a lot of moral issues on the mm-hmm. first passage. And then he goes into, now rid yourself of these things, anger, malice, all of these. Now, we say, he's going to take that away from me. He's saying, now you rid yourself. Okay. I'll help you mm-hmm. if it's your desire to rid yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Like any addiction.
Right.
Foul language is an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
You just, the habits.
Yes.
Or whatever it may be. Anger. Well, that's how God made me. That's a lie from the pit of hell. Right. He can remove all of it. But we've come to the place where our hands are always out and not offering.
Right.
And I think if we can move in the churches today with, Lord, what is it?
Yeah.
What is it you want from me? As blind Bartimaeus, Jesus walks up to blind Bartimaeus and says, what is it you want me to do for you? Mm-hmm. That's what blind Bartimaeus says, cause my eyes. But we all have to answer that question, you know?
Amen. As you're talking, I just feel like there's probably someone listening and they feel stuck. And they're like, oh, I hear what you were saying, that I am to rid myself of this and I want to, but how come I still feel stuck and I've tried and nothing is changing? How do we counsel someone who's expressing that?
So a lot of times we're stuck is because our flesh is stronger than the spirit that's within me. So for me, if I need to make a change, I actually have to go after the change. So look at it this way. If I've been stuck, and let's say lying is your issue, or let's go to the anger. That seems like it's like wildfire. Mm-hmm. Let's take anger. If we have the issue of anger, and I said, Lord, I'm asking you to remove this from me. Okay. Now, this is pretty interesting. It's Ron's scriptural version. Don't take it as gospel, but it's how I felt, how I have to operate. I've always felt in order to grow spiritually, I have to give up an area of my life that is not of him. If I'm living in an area that's not of him, I will be stunted. I'll just stay stagnant. I'll be frustrated, angry, and all of the above. Mm-hmm. When I turn one over, don't try to do it all. Just do the one he's putting on your mind right now.
Yes.
Where you're sitting. He already said it to you while you're sitting there. Take that one, and I want you to say, Lord, remove this from me. Don't just say, help me get over this. Mm-hmm. Lord, remove this from me is an action word, not just, well, I asked him to help me. It's not about help. It's about restoration.
Amen.
Now, every time we do one of these, we walk through what I'd like to call a doorway, and the doorway is a doorway of obedience. When I cross through the threshold of obedience, as soon as I do that, I'm afforded every single promise that is written in Scripture.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Amen.
It's that easy. So if I can move past myself, some of these are very difficult to move past. But if you stay with it and you fight through it. Now I know you're not supposed to fight. He'll take it away. And he says, now rid yourself.
Rid yourself.
He's not saying,
yes,
I'll take it from you when I think it's ready. Okay. There may be other items that he'll do. When Paul says, take this thorn from my side. Mm-hmm. Okay. And Jesus says, my grace is sufficient for you, right?
Yeah.
By the way, my wife's version of the thorn in his side, Paul's thorn was that he had killed so many Christians.
Yeah.
And he wanted that removed.
Yeah.
Because he was tired of feeling it.
Yeah.
And that's, but the Lord has a way of keeping us humble in all of these things, right?
Yeah, you know, as you were talking, I was remembering when Eric Gilmore was here for the men's conference, and when he was talking about, growth and moving past these things that the Lord tells us to rid ourselves of, he says an important piece of that is to admit, wow, God, I actually do really love this. There's a part of me that loves being angry. Mm-hmm. There's a part of me that loves this addiction or this sin.
Yeah, well, the Bible says that the pleasure of sin is for a season. So it's pleasurable. Of course it is. Why would I want to give up something that's pleasurable? Mm-hmm. It's about the sacrificial part of our life. Because I'm more concerned about pleasing the Lord than I am pleasing my own flesh.
Right.
Right?
Right. Right. So as we're moving through the message, you know, Zach talked about he referenced the manna in the wilderness. For those of us who don't know what that story is, could you tell us that?
Could I tell you that?
Yeah. Okay, so, what was the manna in the wilderness?
Okay, so you have Israelites. The Israelites are traveling. They're lost in the wilderness, and they're wondering, how are we going to eat? And the Lord provides for so many days and so many years, right? Mm-hmm. Just the same thing over and over. And even that, they get tired of it. Mm-hmm. They get tired of it. Well, so He is providing for us as well, right? And we may get tired. Oh my gosh, I think we're going to turn this here. I think we get tired of asking Him to do something else when He wants you to enjoy what you've received.
What you've received. Amen.
We always want to change mm-hmm. everything. Yeah, but I want what Luke has.
Right.
Yeah, but no, I want what, right? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't work that way. Mm-hmm. I love the things of the Lord. They're so individual.
Yes.
They're so personal and so like spot on for me, right? And for you, Luke, you're going to see it different than I see it, but He speaks in a language we understand.
Amen. Amen. Right? Because I'd been thinking about that same story the week prior of, you know, the Lord providing manna and how He would provide enough for that day. They were supposed to gather just for that day. Mm-hmm. And if they gathered more, it would spoil. There would be maggots. Mm-hmm. And I made this connection. I was like, oh, that's the poverty mindset. The poverty mindset is I don't know what I'm going to have tomorrow. So I need to gather today and more. Mm-hmm. And if you're around here enough, like you might hear someone throw that term around, the poverty mindset. But it's really like this is also what Zach was calling us into. It's relying on the Lord today, trusting Him that He's going to provide for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because what He provides for us today is so that we can burn those calories and press on, set our minds on things above, and move where He's calling us.
But I think the real principle there, Luke, is this, that, okay, I got my manna this morning. Can I sacrifice it and give it away to somebody?
Wow.
And I believe in the giving away of something that I need, He multiplies.
Yeah.
Right? That's what happens the next day.
Oh, man.
Right? I really believe that.
Yeah.
If you live with your hands open mm-hmm. instead of, what's my 401k doing?
Yep.
You know, how's my kingdom investing doing? Mm-hmm. Right? Where am I with the Lord on this? Is do I hear a need? Do I see a need? Do I meet the need? Mm-hmm. You know, and as Scriptures talks about, money's the last. I believe money is the last thing that gets saved. Your wallet, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody struggles in that area, right? But once you set free of it, once I know the manna's coming, once I don't have to worry about tomorrow, everything is set free. Mm-hmm. You're just free to operate, mm-hmm. and there is no greater place.
Yeah, that's awesome. Like you've totally blown it open because I think we focus on God's provision, and when we think provision, our mindset is, all right, God's provision for me. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Jesus said, freely you have received, now freely give. So it's out of that trust of that God is always going to provide for me. His provision is a given. Mm-hmm. And so now I'm called to live and see the world and people the way He does. And Jesus freely poured Himself out for us. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I ought to live.
It's interesting how we're here in this conversation. And you opened up with praying for Patrick. And how you felt after praying for Patrick. Mm-hmm. That aligns with Scripture. You're praying for Patrick for his spiritual healing. And in the same time you're doing that, He says, if you pray for your friends, your healing will come. Mm-hmm. Whatever the issue may be, whatever your need may be, when our focus is on everybody
Amen.
But me.
Amen. Amen. That's I would agree. Like I feel like as I've matured in the Lord and grown in the Lord, and I've seen Him use me. It was those times where I was like, wow, God, I wasn't planning on doing that, but you led me to do that. And in seeing how I was God's vessel in a way that I wasn't preparing to do, or just really seeing how he moved through me, those are the most fulfilling times. Mm-hmm. And a part of you does get healed.
Right. And even to that whole manner thing, the Lord was consistently faithful to what he did. Mm-hmm. He provided every morning. And I would challenge us, even Ron needs challenging, am I consistent in my part of my faith? Am I consistently trusting the Lord? Right? Am I consistently serving him as he's called me to serve? Or am I waking up on Sunday morning and saying, am I waking up on Sunday morning going, you know, it's a beautiful day, let's just head to the beach. Mm-hmm. But yet the Lord wants to meet you, right? And the Lord wants to set up opportunity for us. And I really believe that. Mm-hmm. We are no, as we gave our life to Christ, we are no longer controlled by the evil desire. We are controlled by the direction he calls us in. If our ears and our eyes are open and attentive to his voice.
Amen. Amen. So the Israelites moved out of the wilderness and then the manna stopped, right? So there was a day where, okay, there's no more manna. You're in the promised land. And Zach said, he had one line. He said, you know, the church, we really like the wilderness. Could you explain that a little more?
Oh my gosh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Can I explain the wilderness?
Yeah. Like, why do we like the wilderness?
This is Ron's take on the wilderness. If you've been around Christian ease for a number of years, you'll find that people that are in the wilderness create self-pity parties. The self-pity party draws attention, mm-hmm. right? And that's not what he's saying. He's saying, no, you're wandering because all you care about is yourself, mm-hmm. right? Instead of trusting that he has that promised land, he has that place already prepared right. for you. We should sit at the edge of our seat in a state of anticipation, mm-hmm. not sit in the wilderness and where are we going from here?
Right, right. And the Lord is patient with us in mm-hmm. those wilderness seasons, and mm-hmm. he does provide. But again, he's calling us into a maturity and a strengthening where we can then go out and be good stewards of the land that he's calling us into.
Absolutely. And you can look at it in another, again, let's take the financial side of this. He's been my provider. I've had a paycheck every week. Okay, he's provided. Oh, wait a minute. I'm a believer. And the reason he's providing every week is I'm a believer and I'm trusting in him. And he's one day that paycheck may not be there.
Right.
Are you still there? Mm-hmm. Are you still chasing after him and following after him, whether you're getting it or not getting it?
Right.
There's where the rubber meets the road, because it's not, you realize then as he takes you through that wilderness, my reliance is no longer on him being providing. He wants to see if I can stand strong in my faith, knowing he's still there.
Amen.
Even in the darkness.
Amen. Amen. And Jesus said for us not to worry about these things. Mm-hmm. Those are some of my favorite passages, the do not worry about your life, you know, whether what you're going to eat, drink, or mm-hmm. what you're going to wear. And Jesus addresses that so specifically because he says these are the things that dominate the minds of unbelievers. Mm-hmm. And I know like that's where my mind goes unless I keep it in check, unless mm-hmm. I'm living in the spirit and understanding, oh, I have all the riches of heaven. My Heavenly Father will provide for me for everything that he has called me to do. And when I'm living in that identity, then I can trust, if that's what he's put on my heart and I'm being obedient and going after, mm-hmm. he's going to provide for me. And even if my salary changes, like God is going to provide for me. Mm-hmm. I still have to be responsible. It's not mm-hmm. that, mm-hmm. oh, okay, I'm just going to go and, you know, go wherever the wind takes me and just be like, hey, God's going to provide. No, mm-hmm. it's not a flippant attitude. It's a attitude of trust.
Absolutely. But if you look at that next passage there, Luke, I'd like to hit on this. Mm-hmm. If he's talking about, now rid yourself of these items, and this is what catches my...
In Colossians. Yes, yes.
Did I say Colossians?
No, I just want to, for those listening, we're jumping back to Colossians.
Because Zach's message was out of Colossians 3. But he's saying, now rid yourself of these items. But if you go through the items and then you look at the next items, he says, now, again, here we see it again. He says, now clothe yourself with what? What am I going to clothe myself with? You know what the first one he says is? Clothe yourself with compassion. Lord, can you remove this anger from me and replace it with compassion? I got a really good feeling he will do that.
Amen. Ugh.
Right? I really do. If you actually say, can we make this trade, Lord? Can we trade up? Can I just get rid of this anger and you fill it with compassion? Jesus, tired, rowing across, I don't know where it was, the Sea of Galilee or whatever, had just had worked all day healing. And he rose to the other side and he sees a crowd of people across.
Yes.
Feeding the 5,000.
Yes.
And the boat was up. The disciples are tired. Really, we don't want to do this one. Well, we're going to do it. And the Bible says this, like, because Jesus had compassion for them. If we can take our wants and our angers and all of the things and we turn it into compassion, your life will accelerate in the spirit world.
Amen.
Because you decided, I'm removing my grave clothes, the things that's holding, and I'm chasing after him.
Amen.
And that's his heart, is compassion.
Yes. Compassion has this forward motion to it, that I've never really grasped until now, or like had it hit me. It just hit me in a new way today. But it's, in order for me to have compassion and show compassion, I have to now step forward and do what he's called me to do.
Well, if you look at each one of those, they're action words.
Mm-hmm.
So compassion is an action word. I can say I have compassion, but my actions will show if I have compassion.
Amen.
You know, do I want to put my arm around that person who's struggling with alcohol and is smelly and whatever they are, whatever issue or addiction, whatever is going, am I okay? Is my compassion supersede those fleshly feelings? That's when you know you have it, right? When you can walk into a nursing home and you move beyond the smell of urine and the decay and the different things that are actually happening in the, if you move past those things and you have compassion, it changes the atmosphere of the room. I believe that people understand when you have compassion and you have the likeness of Christ, it affects the room you're in.
Amen. Amen. I just hear I don't know where in the Bible it says this, but it's like in this, I think it's one of the John's letters where he says, like, in this world, you are like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And when we live that way with compassion, that is how we live like Jesus,
mm-hmm.
where we are not full of ourselves. We're emptying ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And Zach's message had these like two prongs of us going back to either sinfulness and feeding ourselves of our sin, where it's like, okay, well, I know this junk. And then I also had another piece where it's like, oh, I'm going to go back to this good place where God met me. But again, when we do that, it's like, I'm focusing on myself and not the upward trajectory motion that he's taking me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not seeing the world through his eyes, because again, even if it's something good, I'm focused back on me again.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And there lies the walk of being a believer is you will find yourself in need all the time, and you actually have to rid yourself. Just keep dumping it, because we're just full of insecurities, all of these things. And I can tell you this, the more focused you get on your compassion and a spirit of humility, right? And kindness, as the word is describing here, we will suddenly find ourselves in a place of freedom. Mm. All right? Because it's no longer about me. But we have this identity that it's this, I need that, and I need that, whatever it is. But he's not calling us to that. He wants us to be this. Can I have humility and still challenge the world? Can I have humility and be in the world? Absolutely. Does that mean I lay down like a dog and get beat? No. No. He says we can be wise in it, mm-hmm. right? We can be kind in it. We can love in it. We can have compassion in it, but I can be wise in it.
Amen. Amen. Well, as we wrap up our time together, what's a final challenge that the Lord has for us that you would share?
Wow. That's oh my gosh. I think I opened with it is in if I watch people struggle, if we're counseling as elders or praying at the altar, whatever it may be, you'll find people wrestle with the same thing over and over and over and over. And I want to say it's a choice that they make. I will choose to wrestle this. And it's not until the Lord takes it from me. It's until I give it up. I have to consciously give this over to the Lord. And he will do the work from there. Mm-hmm. Some people, they give over and it's like instant healing. Some people, it may take a long time.
Yeah.
But the heart posture has to be, Lord, I'm ready for change.
Amen.
Take me to the next level.
Amen.
I want this change.
Yep.
Lord, just breathe it on me.
Yep.
Right? But he's not letting us off by just fixing us.
Right.
He said, you want me to do it? This is what you're going to do. You have to have the faith to believe I can do it.
Amen. Amen. And it can be really hard, I think, especially when you see how from the outside of someone else's life, it looked like it was so instantaneous for them. And it's like, well, what about me? And just to add on to that, to what you said, I would say, well, the Lord is on a journey with you. Mm-hmm. So you look at the Lord and you give it over to him.
Yeah. And also the church has been called. Yeah. Like you and I, mm-hmm. Luke, when Lazarus was called out, Jesus didn't remove Lazarus' grave clothes. Mm-hmm. He told his friends and family,
right.
Okay, friends and family, help him remove the things that stink.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yes.
So I have to put my hands on the things that stink.
Amen.
I have to put my hands on the things that like I don't want to do.
Right.
Right. And isn't it interesting that he actually used the family, mm-hmm. which is the hardest part?
Yeah.
It's always easy to do it for somebody you don't know.
Oh, it is. It is. It is. Yep. Yep. My mom has always said ministry's hardest at home.
Oh, yeah.
So much harder because you see all the stuff.
Yeah.
Like we know the stuff. It's in verse 13 in that Colossians chapter, he goes on to say, after you clothe yourself, he says, bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Mm-hmm. And above all these, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us and challenging us and encouraging us. And would you mind just closing in prayer?
Yeah, I'm going to close with that. Where you ended off, it says, and so, Father, we pray this, your word. It says, let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. So, Father, we are asking that you become the ruler of our hearts. God, we're tired of being the ruler of our hearts. Father, forgive us if we say we're not, but we really are. So we ask right now that as we cast this over to you, that we don't want to be the ruler of our heart anymore. We want you to rule our hearts. And Father, we give you open hands and open hearts to fill in, God, where we're so inadequate. But God, as those who are out there today and just have heard, wait a minute, I have a choice and I have an opportunity to be set free of myself. Father, we ask right now that you will begin to step in. God, make clear the route in which they are to go, whether it should be about this or it should be about that. And Father, we ask right now that your heart of compassion will fall on each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you again.
God bless.
Those of you listening, keep pressing into what the Lord has for you. Stay faithful, stay trusting, and we'll see you on Sunday. Can't count on